Am I on? I know we just prayed, but I invite everyone to center themselves, come into this present moment. You can either close your eyes or soften your gaze. Notice your breathing. And call to mind the person that you're praying for this weekend. I also invite you to call to mind your deepest pain. Why is it your deepest pain? Is it a physical pain? An emotional pain? A spiritual pain? Gently allow it to rise to your heart. And ask the Spirit to bear it with you. Give thanks to the Lord for this weekend. For all that you've heard. The things you've heard that you needed to hear. And the things that you've heard that have challenged you. Because we know that growth does not happen outside of challenges. Ask the Spirit to open your heart, to continue to hear what it is you need to hear. and to help you bear what you need to bear. And as you come back into this present moment, again, give thanks to God for all his blessings. For all your brothers and sisters in fraternity, locally, regionally, nationally, internationally. And we praise God. So be it. Amen. Amen. I thought I would get a better night's sleep last night. But I got to sleep. I had a migraine last night. And if I was a little weird with anybody, please forgive me. But at 1:47 a.m., I was awoken, and the Holy Spirit said, get up, get up. And as our brother Tom read yesterday about perfect joy, Francis telling the brother, write this down. The Holy Spirit said, write this down. So the presentation that I was going to give, I will give part of it, but he nudged me that something else needed to be shared this morning. And I got a confirmation because there's a line in the morning prayer hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King, on page 17. Stanza number 5, it says, all you who pain and sorrow bear, praise God and lay on him your care. I thought that was pretty profound considering what I was nudged by the Spirit to share with you this morning. A few people came up to me to ask me, so where do I begin in my local fraternity? How do I do this? Where do I begin? Where do I start? And I will share with you how I started. Yes, I was asked by the pastor of St. Francis of Assisi Church in 2003 to be the JPEG animator. But it came out of a really difficult time for us. We'd just gone through 9/11. And as you know, our father, Michael Judge, was victim number one. And Father Michael was a very, very dear friend to me. And we also lost one of our secular sisters. Her name was Carol LaPlante. And she worked in the South Tower on the 106th floor. And from what I understood, the plane went directly into her floor. So for me, pain became my JPEG bridge. I asked you in the meditation to call to mind your deepest pain. Because that is where you begin. The world's deepest need matches your deepest pain. So I live with chronic pain. I experienced a loss right before 9/11, so I had emotional and spiritual pain. But it brought peace and justice to a whole different level for me. Because it doesn't say that we are to go out and save the world, hold up all the placards, participate in all the rallies. Like the hymn says, it begins with me. What is your deepest pain? That's where social justice begins for you. So if you're going to take it on a practical level, there's many things you can do to begin. Begin with the rule. Our rule of life, that's where JPIC comes from. That's our gospel foundation. You can begin with Article 19, knowing that we are bearers of peace, not that we will become, but that we are. And how do we live out that call to be bearers of peace? Begin with the peace principles. What was the P? The E? The A? The C? And the E. You got a year's worth of JPIC teaching there. I remember when I was doing my Franciscan Servant Leadership Program at St. Francis. It was a 12-week program. And I would speak each class on one of those principles. And a woman came up to me and said, "How on earth can you speak for a whole hour about empathy?" It can be done. It can be done. We tend to shy away from our pain. We ignore it. We deny it. We medicate it away. We do all but bear it. And pain does not come for pain's sake. Pain comes because it has a message for you. It has a lesson to teach you. But you must endure the pain. Jesus had to go through the crucifixion before he got to resurrection. What are your crucifixion moments? And I promise you, if you look at those crucifixion moments, you will get to Resurrection Day. Begin with your pain. Dialogue in your fraternity. There are going to be those members that don't want to look at things like the ecology, climate change, because they don't believe in it. They don't want to hear about immigration. What what's their deepest pain? Because that will give you a clue as to why they don't want to hear about climate change, or why they don't want to hear about immigration, or any number of issues. You don't need to be issue-driven. You are your first issue. The one thing I love about airplane flights, and I was on 4 airplanes last weekend to and from the JPIC confab, is the flight attendants. When they do all that, you know. Don't you love that? I just love that. And I don't care what I'm doing, I will stop and watch them because I just find them fascinating. But one thing they always say, in case of an emergency, put your oxygen mask on first and then help someone else. You cannot help me if you're flailing around, grasping for breath. I need you oxygenated. And I must admit, like the spiritual assistance class that I was privileged to be a part of last May, the talk of violence within the heart, I heard it yesterday in this room during the panel discussions. And although I wasn't surprised, it was a little disheartening because we're going to go out and be Christ for others. And how do we do that with a heart at war? How do we do that with such anger, bitterness, resentment, and rage in the heart? You can't. Allow your crucifixion. Allow the pain. Because that violence, that anger, that bitterness is bubbling up and needs to be dealt with. A little bit about me. I am a trained and certified grief counselor. I'm a death educator. I'm a licensed clinical hypnotherapist. I'm a life coach. So I deal with people one-on-one. And after 9/11, I dealt with so many people that came to St. Francis for solace, for comfort. People who were angry. People who felt they'd been violated. People who couldn't see peace within their own hearts. Because they did this to me. They allowed this to happen to me. And I have one question that I presented to all of them. And it was, what's your part in it? You wake up with you. You go to bed with you. You take a shower with you. You pray with you. You ain't getting away from you. Wherever you go, there you are. Don't you want that person that you are with 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to be a person with a heart at peace. A person of prayer. A person who's empathetic, who actively listens, who's compassionate, and who does the truth in love. You cannot, unless you allow your crucifixion moments. Those fraternity members that don't want to hear it, they won't hear it. I'm here to tell you, they're not going to hear it because they're walking their own crucifixion. Ask them, what is your deepest pain? Don't demand an answer. Gently share your own. And this can be very daunting and very scary because things bubble up that we may not expect. But you'd be amazed how it diffuses hearts at war. When I know your pain, your struggles, your sorrows, I can invite empathy. I can invite compassion. And remember, it's not about fixing them. That's not your job. Your job is just to be present to them. That is social justice. And you would be amazed at where it will take you next. And don't think it's wishy-washy or touchy-feely. Because what I found in working at St. Francis, I began a bereavement ministry. And you don't know how many people came to our groups saying that they've talked to priests, but the priest didn't help them. Now you have some who are wonderful. But what I found was in some of the priest training, the funeral was the end of that particular kind of training. And what came next, they couldn't do. But that's where God called me and others like me. And in helping others, I helped myself. And from that, social justice, peace, rose to the surface. Because how many of you know that social justice issues begin with pain? How many of you know that? Someone was in pain. So an issue rose up. Yesterday, I had asked you to think of your issue, your passionate issue, if you will. Think of how it began. An unmet need, someone's pain. That's your entryway. Violence has become a way of life. We live in a culture of violence. And when I say violence, I don't necessarily mean physical violence. There's gossiping. There's anger. There's ignorance. There's arrogance. There's hatred. There's sarcasm. How many cut someone off in traffic? Oh, I see a few people. Well, how she know I did that? That's violence. And yesterday I challenged you, replace the word sin with the word violence. Puts the onus back on you. If you say I sinned, that can seem kind of nebulous. And you point the finger. But if you say I was violent to myself, to another, towards God's creation, or towards God, that puts the onus on you. It begins with you. Honor, acknowledge, walk with your crucifixion moments. Because out of those comes your resurrection moments. Where's my brother, Frank Kane? I remembered the quote that I was trying to tell you. We were talking about silence. And one of my favorite quotes, which I just slipped in my mind yesterday, was speak only if it improves the silence. Take the quiet time you need. Be silent. Ask the Spirit to bear your crucifixion moments. Ask the Spirit why your crucifixion moments are happening. What is it that you need to know, to understand? Not that you have to do anything. Get that out of your mind. Like Father said yesterday, shift your mindset. First put your own oxygen mask on. Then the God of peace, who disarms your heart, will guide you to your next doing. So if you have trouble doing right now, it is because you are not being. Until you are being, you will not do. And if you do, it's not spirit inspired. If you're not being, what did I say? That's what happens when it comes off the top of your head. When you are doing and not being, it won't be spirit inspired. So a story. The only survivor of a shipwreck was washed up on a small uninhabited island. He prayed feverishly for God to rescue him. And every day he scanned the horizon, looking for help, but none came. Exhausted, he eventually managed to build himself a little hut out of driftwood to protect himself from the elements and to house his few possessions. And one day, after scavenging for food, he arrived back to his little hut only to find that it was in flames, with smoke rolling up to the sky. He felt the worst had happened, and everything was lost. He was stunned with disbelief, anger, and grief. He cried out, "God, how could you let this happen? How could you do this to me?" Early the next day, he was awakened by the sound of a ship approaching. It had come to rescue him. Weary, he asked, "How did you know I was here?" And they replied, "We saw your smoke signal." When the worst is happening, God is doing his best. Even in the midst of our pain and our suffering, the smoke signal summoned the grace of God. Allow your hut to burn. Don't hold on so tightly. Someone needs you. So you've heard a lot this weekend about being and doing peace. I just want to get a sense from you all, because as your regional animator, I must go home and create what it is that I believe you need to move you forward. How did it feel to intentionally pray for one of your brothers or sisters? I see nods. Shout out one or two words.
Great.
Say it.
Blessing.
Blessing.
Happy.
Connecting. Happy.
More personal.
Mm-hmm. How did it feel to know that you were intentionally being prayed for by one of your brothers or sisters? Reassuring, special. It was cool. Somebody? Recognizing the needs of someone else instead of just you. We, for this weekend, we let go of our own agenda, didn't we, when we were praying for them. It was because we may or may have not known who the person was. So we didn't know a specific thing to pray for. We didn't know an illness. We didn't know an adversity. We didn't know a trial. We just know that they were our brother and sister and that we needed to keep them in prayer. That's what Paul speaks of in his letter to the Romans. That we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit that guides and animates us knows. So the Spirit knew what that person needed. So all you needed to do was hold that person in heartfelt intent. Take that back to your fraternities. See what a difference that may make. That exercise was about praying mindfully. And I love that word, mindful. You know that word is mentioned three times in our rule? Mindful. Being mindful. Paying attention to present moment experiences on purpose, without resistance, without judgment, and accepting what is. Imagine if we could be that way towards all of our brothers and sisters. God bless you. Instead of praying our own agenda, what about the grain of truth exercise? Any insights, any awarenesses? That was a hard one, wasn't it? Offering your opponent a grain of truth. The grain of truth exercise was to think about your own issue, whatever that may be. It may be Hispanic community, you know, something that you're passionate about. Think about why you're passionate about it. And then think of the opposing perception. So it may be those who want to deport immigrants or those who don't believe that we should have immigrants here or border issues. You name it. And offer that person one grain of truth. Put yourself in that person's shoes, empathy, for just one moment. Why do you believe what you believe? But just know they believe what they believe for whatever reason they believe. You don't have to agree. You don't have to change your point of view. But you do have to acknowledge them as a brother or sister in the Lord. Jesus died for all. Not just those who believe like me. Not just those who speak my dogma or my doctrine, but everybody. So that grain of truth exercise says, am I able to put myself in my brother or sister's shoes without animosity, without antagonism, without arrogance, without hatred, without violence? Just honor that one grain of truth. When you can do that, you can begin the work of dialogue. And who knows, maybe that person's truth, they will see a flaw in it. Maybe you'll see something that you didn't realize, and you'll come to a mutual understanding. That's the only way there will be peace. Let this begin in your fraternity. Because how many stories have I heard about bickering fraternities on different sides of the issue? In New York, I was regional secretary, so I went to a lot of visitations and elections as well. And couldn't believe the things I heard. Then, of course, I come down to the South, think it's going to be all different. Well, there are people everywhere, and we are it. Any other awarenesses? that you just want to throw out? Madeline? So, Madeline mentioned a family member or fraternity member who perhaps is not stable, and you have that dissension. How do you approach that person? How do you find their, give them that one grain of truth? You be as open a vessel as you can possibly be. You walk with the feet of empathy. Try to understand where they're coming from. You don't have to agree with where they're coming from, just understand. Sometimes you're not the vessel that they need to hear from. If you've tried and they don't listen, just turn it over to the Holy Spirit. He will find a way to get them the message you need. I was in a prayer group in New York at one of the churches that I ministered in, and the director, he was talking about some issue, and I was trying to give him a differing point of view, and he just wouldn't hear it. And finally the Spirit nudged me and said, "Let it go. I'll take care of him." And I said, "Okay." Usually I'm not that obedient. I've learned. And that night at our prayer group, someone mentioned the exact same thing I had said. And he agreed wholeheartedly. And he turned to me and said, "That's what you were trying to tell me, wasn't it?" And I said, "Yes." And I said, "Thank you, Holy Spirit." Ever since that moment, I know when to shut up. I meditate 3 hours every day, except when I'm traveling, it's a little difficult. And one morning, I was praying, and the Spirit just nudged me and said, "I've given you what's yours to do. Just do that." Because I'm an educator. I'm an animator. But I want to open you up and cram it in and get you to follow and believe and know and just be passionate about it. And the Spirit said, "That's not your job. That's not what I gave you to do. All you do is deliver the message. I'll take care of the rest." St. Francis said, "The Lord has shown me what is mine to do. May he show you what is yours to do." Don't worry about the big picture. Don't try to win the war. Deal with your own mini crucifixion moments. And I guarantee your resurrection moments will be a lot sweeter. I want to leave you with a prayer that I heard. It was from the singer Bono. Anybody know Bono? Oh. He spoke this prayer at a national prayer breakfast back in 2006. He said, God is in the slums, in the cardboard boxes where the poor play house. God is in the silence of a mother who has infected her child with a virus that will end both their lives. God is in the cries heard under the rubble of war. God is in the debris of wasted opportunity and lives. And God is with us if we are with them. My brothers and sisters, begin with prayer. Turn the burdens over. Allow your crucifixion moments. It's not about being brave. It's not about having all the answers. It's not about being right all the time. It is about being faithful. It is about being Franciscan. It's about being gospel people. That's what we profess. You consciously made that choice. You consciously came here this weekend. What will you take back? And let it begin with you. It's not about them. It's not about the fraternity. You first. How are you changed? How has your heart gone from a heart at war to a heart at peace? How will you celebrate your resurrection day? It has been such an honor and a privilege to be with you this weekend. You inspire me. You encourage me. I am honored to be your animator. I hope I can continue to serve. And I hope you will continue to feed and nourish me. Now for my shameless plug. There are 30 fraternities. I have only 10 animators. I want 30 animators. If you feel called, and again, it's not about doing something. It's about teaching yourself and your brothers and sisters how to be with one another. I will help you. But I need your help as well. If the Spirit this weekend has moved you to animation of peace and justice in your fraternity, email me and say, the Spirit has moved me. Because we need you. Our fraternities are not going to grow without it. We want the youth. The youth love JPIC. They want to know that as Franciscans, we care about the ecology, the family, the issues on the ground, planting a tree, recycling. As my brother Cliff said, I don't know where Cliff is, turning off the water when you brush your teeth. Not wasting. Recognizing that we get one chance at our one Mother Earth. That's how we get our youth. We're not going to get our youth without you walking through your crucifixion moments, because they want to see your resurrection. They need to see your resurrection. I need to see your resurrection. And again, it's daily conversion. You don't do it once. Sorry to say. It's ongoing. So counselors, formators, vice ministers, talk it up. Inquirers, and I've met a few of you, what are you stirred to do? How are you stirred to move in your own heart, in the hearts of your family, in the hearts of your fraternity, in your community? God bless you. I want to see some emails when I get home from 20 people. I'll even take 15. And I'll be like Abraham, I'll bargain with God. Okay, I'll take 5. My email address, C as in Carolyn, T as in Tom, O-W, N as in Nancy, E-S as in Sam, 26@hotmail.com. C as in Carolyn, T as in Tom, O-W, N as in Nancy, E-S as in Sam, 26, the number 26, at hotmail.com. I wish you Godspeed, God's peace, and let us celebrate your resurrection moments. Thank you.
A journey of 1,000 miles starts with one simple step. Let's all take that first step that Carolyn asked us to take. And I'm going to up the stakes. I want 22. Because we have two emerging communities, and they need to be involved as well. So, anyways, before we go into the next part of the program, I just want to make a couple of reminders. One, please, if you haven't already done so, fill out your evaluation forms, and there is a box on the back table where registration is for you to drop it in. And also, before you leave, please drop your badges in the box back there as well. There's a box for the badges. And just a reminder that Father Linus mentioned last night, there are some baskets on the table where the books were for Eucharistic Adoration. For any donations you'd like to give towards the spiritual assistant training course. And I'd like to ask, is Paula here? Paula's anchor. Paula is our new vice minister for the new council. I'd like to have her come up here to help me. I'd like to take the opportunity, and we've been doing this for a few years now, take the opportunity to recognize the newly professed members of our region. And I know not everybody is here. We have a list, as a matter of fact, on page 19 in your program, that lists all of the newly professed, with the exception of one that was added that I was given the name during this weekend. But I'd like to call those that are here to come forward. And I'd like you to come as your name is called and just sort of see Paula and then just sort of line up in here. And what we're going to do is after we've recognized all of the newly professed, we're going to ask all of the professed to stand up, and we're all going to recommit our profession. So, beginning with San Damiano Fraternity in Athens, I'd like to ask for Lindy Grace and Carolyn Medine come forward. The Stigmata of St. Francis in Duluth, Tony Williams, if you're still here. I know Tony, there she is, okay. Franciscan Martyrs of Sirocco Brie, we have neither of the newly professed here. Channel of Peace Fraternity, Ann Hammers. Ann is coming up. Area 2. Our Lady Queen of Angels, Terence Chisholm. St. Elizabeth of Hungary Fraternity in Augusta, Richard Hurtigan and Barbara Willett, I believe, are both here. St. Michael the Archangel, Mike Mason. Moving to Area 3. The Fraternity of St. Clair in Winston-Salem, Janice Saffret, Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament in Burlington, Janine Clemens and Peggy Holmes and Beverly McGee. And if there is anyone else who is here who is newly professed since August of last year and somehow we've missed you, please come forward. It reminds me that even though we try to have the program be as close to accurate as possible, there are always some names that either don't get in because they're last-minute additions or we get cancellations or somebody drops out. And so it's never 100% accurate. But that's okay because we're Franciscan. We can live with that. What I'd like now is for everyone, and I'm sorry, I should have mentioned to the newly professed to bring your programs with you. Some of you have them. Okay, those of you that have them, if you can share. Page number 20, and I'd like for all of the professed members to please stand. Page 20 in your program. And we'll pray together. And we'll do it the way Father Linus taught us. We thank you, Lord, for calling us to the secular Franciscan order. We ask your pardon for all our shortcomings, weaknesses, and transgressions against our commitment to the gospel life and against the rule. We renew once again our commitment to the gospel life, according to the rule of the secular Franciscan order, until the end of our days. Grant also that we may live in harmony with our brothers and sisters, and that we may give witness to younger people of the great gift we have received from you, our Franciscan calling to go forth as witnesses and instruments of the Church's mission among all people, proclaiming Christ by our life and words. Most high and glorious God, grant that we may live justice and peace. All praise be yours, O Lord, through all that you have made. Amen. Okay, you've got about 5 to 6 minutes before Mass begins.